invitation. Always a fearful thing, though, so pray for us. I feel pretty good tonight. I guess as good as I can, but I don't sound too good, so I'll just have to be patient with me. My voice does this every so often on me. So pray God will get us through the thoughts that He's laid upon our heart. Do thank the Lord for that first message. Amen. Great start. And by the time we're done, you're almost going to think we've been comparing notes, but that's not the case. Lord's laid this upon our heart. I understand there's new procedure here this year. I want to make all the preachers aware of it. Maybe Brother Dan hasn't. If you look back there at the sound desk back there, when you see white smoke coming up, that means your time's about up. When you see yellow smoke, that means you've been preaching too long. And when you see black smoke coming out of Brother Dan's ears, that means you'll never preach here again. So all you preachers, be prepared for those signals. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I had hoped to, and I had intended to read the entire chapter, but I think I will dispense with that, trusting it is familiar to the majority of those here this evening. I think I'll just read verse number 1 for our text. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, Word of God says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I want to preach on subject the Lord's laid upon my heart, entitled, "The Darkness Is Not Our Fault." The darkness is not our fault. We have much preaching, and we have much being said today that would imply that the condition of our world and the condition of our country is all the fault of God's people. If you really listen to a lot of what you're hearing, America is in the terrible shape she is in because Christians have been such a failure in serving the Lord. But that's not what this text says. This chapter tells us that there's something God's people need to know. There's something through inspiration that Paul wanted Timothy to know. And what God wants us to know is, in the last days there will be perilous times. Amen. Folks, that is just as much under God's control as anything else that happens in the universe. God has predetermined and God has preset, and the Holy Spirit restrains the powers of evil. And this world is getting dark and darker according to the control of a sovereign God. Amen. And if he's not sovereign over the end times, he's not sovereign over any of the times. We need to understand that as we draw near to the end of time and world history and human history as we know it, before eternity comes back into view, the times are determined to be dark. They're determined to be evil. Paul says under inspiration, know this. Understand this. He says in this verse, they not might come, or they'll come dependent upon how good of a Christian you are. No, he says they shall come. We read in much of Paul's letters to Timothy the warning of these evil times. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Holy Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times there will be a departing from the faith, and so on and so forth. In the second epistle, again, chapter 4, Word of God says, for the time will come. No maybes about it. The time will come when folks will not endure sound doctrine. 1 John 2 verse 18 tells us it is the last time. Folks, the last time was the same time that Paul and the apostles lived in. I believe the last days began after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, after His appearing upon this earth. We entered into the last stage of human history. And God has predetermined and God controls the progression of the darkness. Nothing we do or don't do will stop these times from coming. And we could enter into a discussion about whether or not what we do can slow the progression and all of that. We'll not get into that. What I'm saying is nothing we do as God's people or can do will stop these times. It will grow progressively worse until, as the song was sung earlier, the Father says to the Son, go bring my children home. And then God will pour out His wrath upon this world, and this world will get everything this world has coming to it. And God will be just and right. It's not us that's keeping this world from going down the drain. It is the Holy Spirit of God controlling, keeping Satan and all the forces of evil and the course of this old depraved world. It is the Holy Spirit restraining things and controlling things. If you look at chapter 2, Paul gives Timothy much instruction. In verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier. Verse 5, strive as an athlete, but strive lawfully. In verse 6, he encourages Timothy to labor as a faithful husbandman. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Verse 16, shun profane and vain babblings. Verse 21, purge yourself. keep yourself a vessel of honor. In verse 22, flee youthful lusts and follow after righteousness. Avoid foolish and unlearned questions. Latter verses talks about the serving the Lord faithfully and patiently teaching and preaching. And after all of that instruction, Paul follows it in the next chapter by saying, but you need to understand, perilous times shall come. Do all of these things I'm saying to you, but understand those times are still going to come. It is predetermined and under the control of a sovereign God. In our text chapter, Paul says in verse 10, Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All of Paul's faithfulness did not change. Perilous times shall come. I'm not saying let us not be faithful. We'll get into that in a minute. We need to be faithful unto Him who has called us, irregardless of the darkness. But the darkness is not our fault. The darkness is because of sin and wickedness and the depravity of man and the prince of the power of this earth who has the title deed, if you would, to this world until Jesus Christ takes it back from him.
Amen.
And God has predetermined that one of the signs of His second coming of His Son is the darkness. The darkness indicates the coming of Christ. Even in the fourth chapter, when Paul says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. Do these things because the time will come. The Lord's really impressed that upon my heart in these latter days of the latter days. The condition of our society, the condition of this world, cannot be placed upon the shoulders of God's people. With all of our failings and all of our shortcomings, I'm not implying those things aren't there. But God is in control, and God has predetermined the darkness. And it increases shade by shade as the Holy Spirit letteth. And all of these things are set forth in Scripture, and all of these things will make man without excuse before God. Because prophecy so plainly teaches that there is an end coming to this world as we know it. This earth is winding down. It's falling apart. But it's only falling apart at the speed God is allowing. Many, many signs point to the coming of Jesus Christ. And God has not left the coming of His Son without witness. The angel said, this same Jesus who thou seest going up will come in like manner. And just as we have a multitude of prophecies which gave accreditation to Christ being the Savior. There are many prophecies that give accreditation to His second coming. And the condition of our society and our world and its darkness, these things are all prophesied in Scripture. Jesus is coming. And if you refuse to believe that, you refuse to believe God's testimony. And you refuse to believe the Word of God that tells us these times will come. This is not a fatalistic attitude. This is a positive attitude. When you see these things coming, know Jesus is at the door. And the Bible does not teach that the second coming of Christ will overtake us as a thief in the night. It'll overtake those who are asleep, and it'll overtake those that are lost. But God's people, if they're ready and they're right, they'll see it coming. And they'll see it partly because of the darkness of this world. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Again, we wanted to read several verses here. Look at verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. If our gospel is hid, and man cannot see it, it is because of the depravity of his heart. And it is because Satan is his God. And it is because Satan has blinders upon his eyes. Amen. And their only hope is, as we just heard in this previous message, is the Spirit of God coming upon the individual and pulling those blinders back and saying, look at your sin and look at your Savior. I'm not justifying unfaithfulness. I'm trying to show you what the Bible teaches. Amen. My life, my unfaithfulness, your life, your unfaithfulness will not keep the gospel from getting to everyone. God has chosen to hear the gospel and to save through that gospel. It is not hid because of our unfaithfulness. It is only hid until God, according to His determined time, pulls back the curtain. We preach not ourselves. These dark days, that's what our message needs to be. It hadn't changed. Not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Verse 6, for, or because God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. And look at this next part. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He has shined within our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In these dark days, God has commanded the light to shine. He has shined within our heart that we might shine forth to the lost, no matter how dark the days, that we might shine forth unto them of the hope of the gospel. And no matter how dark the days, if we're shining forth with the testimony of Jesus Christ, God will save everyone He's chosen to save. And not a one will be lost. These last days, we need to keep lighting lights. In these last days, we need to keep our lamps trimmed.
Amen. Amen.
And burning brightly.
Amen.
We do have a big problem amongst Christianity and amongst Baptist churches. People hate the preaching of holiness and separation and godly living and looking different and acting different and talking different. But that is how we keep our lamp trimmed and burning bright. That is how we keep our mantle clean, that they may see that God has shone in our heart and changed us. The darkness is not our fault. But if we're not keeping our lamp trimmed, that is our fault. We need to keep our personal lamp trimmed. What condition is your personal life in, Christian? What condition is your personal testimony, church member? How brightly are you shining in these dark days that are going to get darker? We need to keep our church lamps trimmed and burning bright. The darkness does not cry out unto us as Baptists to compromise, come up with something new, come up with something more effective. The darkness cries out unto us New Testament Baptists, contend for the faith once delivered.
Amen.
There'll never be a time so dark that won't be the chief responsibility of the Lord's churches. We need to rage against the evil. I'm not saying otherwise. We need to rage against wickedness. Preach against it. Rage against homosexuality. Rage against abortion.
Amen.
Rage against adultery and fornication and lying and cheating and unfaithfulness to God's house, which is just as serious as anything else I just listed. Rage against it. We need to lift up the truth at all costs in these dark days. Folks, God is in sovereign control of all circumstances and situations. This earth is no surprise to God. See, folks, the Bible teaches us something very plainly. God has never been a reactor. God has always been an actor or an active force. He was not taken by surprise when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. He had already loved us with an everlasting love. He had already chosen us unto salvation in Christ Jesus before the world began. He's never reacted. He's never been surprised. I'm surprised. Seems like when you turn on the news, when you think you won't hear nothing, that'll shock you. There it is. Something else shocks you. God's not shocked. God knows everything. He has determined the end from the beginning. He has set the boundaries of all the nations. He controls the boundaries of the oceans. He controls every second this earth is going to know before a new heaven and a new earth comes. Luke 21, verse 28, I'm just going to read this, says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's talking about our getting yanked out of this mess. That's going to be before judgment and tribulation. I'll just throw that in. When you see these things, couple or so weeks ago, I preached on a Sunday night about four things that I see regularly in the news that declare to me Jesus Christ is coming. I'll just quickly share them with you this evening. May come as a shock in some of these things, hopefully not. But I told the people there at Faith, every time I hear the nation of Russia in the news, it reminds me Jesus Christ is coming. There are those under the mistaken information that think Russia is no longer a problem. Wake up and smell the coffee. Russia still has all of the weapons, whatever token ones they may have said they destroyed to be appeasing to the earth. You mark it down, they have a multitude more of others. And they are still a great force of evil in this world. Do you listen to the news? People thought Gorbachev turned Russia into a democracy. But along comes Putin, I think it is, who says, we're not a democracy like you all see a democracy. And they're inching back into their old ways. Folks, I believe the nation of Russia is found in Scripture. I believe when the Bible references Gog and Magog, we can find that plainly being those nations north of the land of Israel. And in the book of Ezekiel, we can find two chief cities in Russia mentioned, Moscow being one of those. And Russia will be a leading force when the Battle of Armageddon is fought. And even after Christ whips them up there at the Battle of Armageddon, and even after 1,000 years of a millennial reign, they're still going to come up against the sun. And Russia will be leading that charge. Revelation 20 references Gog and Magog. Ezekiel 38, much of that, if not all of that chapter, references them. 38 verse 2 of Ezekiel mentions two of the chief cities of Russia. And Russia is undermining us in this part of the world and that part of the world. And they're working with this nation we're trying to work against. And they're in Iraq and they're making deals with Saddam Hussein. Then they're over in Iran and they're everywhere. And we don't even realize it as Americans. Oh, Russia's gone. You better pay attention when they're in the news. They're going to have a part in the future. And let me give you this disclaimer. If you're here and you're Catholic, I have no hard feelings against you. The church I pastor is not resentful or mean-spirited towards anybody who is a Catholic. The things that we say are not directed at individuals as much as at the system and the leaders in that ungodly system. And I told the church, even before I preached this message, when they were talking about the Pope being sick and the Pope maybe dying, I said, you better pay attention. Because during the tribulation period, there's going to be a universal religion. And Catholicism is plainly identified in the Bible as leading that universal religion. Catholicism is easily identified with the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's not any kind of meanness towards you if you're a Catholic. Listen. Catholicism won't get you into heaven.
Amen.
Only Jesus Christ will get you into heaven.
Amen.
And anything that happens in regards to Catholicism had better perk us up and get us looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. Look over to Revelation 17. This is a description of the bringing down of the great whore of the tribulation period. Her fall. Verse 1, "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." This chapter is very plain description of a worldwide religious system that will exist during the tribulation period after the Lord's church is taken out of the way. And Catholicism will head that. They have called themselves ever since their inception the universal church. And they tell us during the administration of Pope John Paul, no other pope has brought the people together like him. He has addressed the Jews and he has addressed the Muslims and he has addressed the Christians. He has addressed everyone. And you cannot turn on the news without the first story and sometimes the first 10 or 15 minutes of the news being Catholicism. Our society is being conditioned into believing that the Pope is everybody's spiritual father. And he's not anybody's spiritual father. We have one Father in heaven. It's an abomination to call any man a father like we call God. Kings of this earth have committed a fornication with her. It was briefly touched on in my uncle's message. The power that Catholicism has wielded over the governments of this earth. And I hope this doesn't come as a shock to you. But there's more governments in the Catholic pocket today than you'd ever imagine. Kings of this earth have jumped into bed and will jump into bed during the tribulation period. And the Lord will let them go for a while. Then this great religious mess will be judged. We see in this chapter seven mountains on which this religious system sets upon. Do some research on Rome. Verse 4 talks about gold and precious stones and pearls and a golden cup. There is no religion as wealthy as Catholicism. They've got more money than many governments put together. Verse 5, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's her name. From what I can study and understand, the system and the core teachings of Catholicism actually go all the way back into the Old Testament with Nimrod and time of the Tower of Babel. And you can find even in those primitive days, I think it was Nimrod's wife, who developed a religious system where she and her child were worshipped. And the symbol of her religion was the mother and child. Catholicism, my conviction, came into existence as far as an organized religion around 300 or so under Constantine. But the roots of that corrupt system go all the way back, I dare say, to the garden. There's always been two religions in the world. We can't get into all the descriptions of that term, Mystery Babylon. Verse 6 sickens us. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Admiration, there's not a good word. Just the way it was placed in our Bible. During the tribulation period, this worldwide religious system will still be putting God's people to death. She has been the chief persecutor of our Baptist forefathers since the time of Jesus Christ. Millions upon millions of our Baptist forefathers were put to death. Not just with the approval of the Catholic hierarchy, but under the direction of the Catholic hierarchy. And we say God isn't doing anything. Yes, He is. He's waiting. He'll do something. That's what this chapter is all about. Look at Matthew 24. I wanted to give you a summation, not preach the whole message, so I better wrap up. We hear much about the nation of Russia. We certainly hear much about Catholicism and that universal religious system which works against the Lord's true religion and true churches. But there's much in the news about natural disasters. Matthew 24, verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. I was reading, and I think prior to 1950-something, on way, way back, there's only like, I think it was 40 earthquakes ever recorded. And now it seems like that's all we hear about. Everywhere we look, we're seeing earthquakes, natural disasters in divers places. These are the beginning of sorrows. They are trying to develop a warning system for tsunamis and the effects of earthquakes. Well, here's your warning system. God warned us. The days will be perilous. And one of the signs we need to be looking at is natural disasters. They're not accidents. They're under the providential control of God. Amen. Every time there's an earthquake, it is because God shook the earth in that place. Amen. Every time there's a tidal wave, Amen. It's because God sent the forces of that water. Amen. Every time there's a famine, there's a fire, there's a flood, and it seems like that's all we hear about is these disasters. They're increasing because God said, when you see these things, lift up your head.
Amen.
There are no accidents with God.
Amen.
I don't encourage you to listen to James Kennedy, but I paused one Sunday evening. I was trying to recuperate after the day. You know how those Sundays are, preacher. And I stopped and listened to him for a few minutes, and he made a very good statement. He said, the tsunami with 100,000+ people who died, the tsunami did not add one person to the number of people that are going to die. That's truth. It is appointed unto man once to die. God is the one who makes those appointments. And when God says, I'm going to take out 100,000+, nobody can say, you, wait a minute. You don't have the right to do that. Has not the potter power over the clay to do as he pleases? And I don't believe God does anything this world doesn't deserve. And you can look at Africa and many parts of this world where there are famines. And if you go back in the record book, you'll find that there was Christianity in these places. And Jesus Christ was rejected in many of these places. It should not surprise us that there's famines in some of these lands. They tell me that the continent of Africa at one time was filled with Baptists. God is not mocked. God is judging sin. And we'd better stop trying to be palatable and politically correct and stand up and say, when you see these things coming, lift up your heads. Of course, the nation of Israel ought to get our attention every time it's in the news. Israel is God's timepiece, somebody said. I believe that. What's Israel talking about? Talking about peace. The Bible tells us they would. Israel is talking about peace at the cost of giving up some of the land. Read the book. God has prophesied the days will be dark. The darker they get, the closer we are to the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
The darkness is not our fault, but we must rage against the darkness and be faithful in the darkness.
Amen.
The darkness is under God's control. And as dark as it gets, don't throw up your hands in despair. Lift up your heads and say, Jesus must be coming soon.
Amen.
Jesus must be coming.
Amen.
And when you hear about Russia and you hear about Catholicism and you hear about Israel and the natural disasters and you look at the condition of our society, don't despair, Christian.
Amen.
Lift up your heads. That eastern sky is going to break one of these days.
Amen.
Folks, this book is just an amazing book.
Amen.
God has laid out the map of all ages.
Amen.
And we're right where God has planned and purpose to bring us to tonight.
Amen.
This world and this country is right where God purpose and plan to bring us to. Everything points to the authenticity of the author of this book. His plan for the ages. The fact that Jesus Christ is coming to you.
Amen.
Are you ready? Can you look in the Bible, turn on the news, and connect the dots? Friend, if you're here and you're lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm just telling you what I believe. I'm not trying to use scare tactics. I'm telling you, today's the day of salvation.
Amen.
It's not tomorrow. Today's the day to see yourself as a sinner. Today's the day to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Not tomorrow, not next year.
Amen.
believe with all my heart that when Jesus Christ returns, if you've had opportunity here and now, you'll not have opportunity after that.
Amen.
Because then you wouldn't need faith.
Right.
Today's the day, friend. Look around you. This world's in the mess because God said it would be. He's coming again. Will you be left? The Bible says one will be taken, one will be left. Are you going to be left? Christian friend, trumpet sounds, dead in Christ rise first.
Yes.
We which are alive and remain are caught up together forever to be with the Lord.
Amen.
But folks, when we're caught up, you know something's going to happen right away. Judgment seat of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you're not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and offer God any excuses.
That's right. Amen.
Well, I would have served you. I would have lived for you if I knew. I would have had my house in order. I would have fixed everything wrong. I would have gone to church. I would have done this if I only knew. He's going to open the book.
Amen. Amen.
He's going to say, you knew.
Yeah.
He's going to say, I knew. We'll be without excuse.
Amen.
And many crowns and many rewards we'd like to receive are going to be nothing but ashes. Because instead of looking and seeing the imminent return of Jesus Christ, we say, oh, it won't happen. It will. It could be tonight.
Amen.
All the plans for this conference could come to naught if God has a more superior program of sending Christ tonight.
Amen.
Trust Him. Be saved, oh, tonight. Christian, get on fire.
Amen.
Get yourself dedicated to the Lord. Whatever you need to do to get your life in order, do it tonight.